Welcome, BBS listeners, to another episode of You Have Questions, We Have Answers from the Sources, this Wednesday, April 10th. This is Prudence Kurtz in Asheville, North Carolina, filling in for Hive tonight. And the program will begin momentarily. Thank you for joining us.
We have a little snow flurry here in Sedona today, just for about 15 minutes. It's really surprising.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It was 84 yesterday.
Oh, my. Crazy weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like close to 80 today. And the sun is just hot. Radiation hot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we need to acclimate to it a little more. I spend as much time as I still can when the sky is
very... Yeah, I've on YouTube, if you type in UVC sun homemade sunblock, somebody's recipe comes up, a scientist, and he says the things on the market don't really do a good job on UVC and could actually harm you. So he gives a recipe that's not too hard to make up.
Sweet.
Yep, because the UVC for the first time is hitting the ground. You know, it's penetrating all the way down. So there's a tip there.
Hmm. Did you email me that?
Yeah, let me find it again.
I'm walking.
Okay, let me get your email. Go ahead before everybody calls
in. I think you've got it from our correspondence.
Okay. Great, yeah. Email. Gotcha. Okay, I'll get it to you in the next day or so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
It's Jeannie and Citrus Heights. Hello, Purity.
Hi, Jeannie. And welcome to our BBS callers. Thank you for joining us. I'm Prudence, filling in for Hives tonight. And for another edition of You Have Questions and We Have Answers by the Sources. Raiden, you're hiking pretty loud there.
I'll mute.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hey, Pretty Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Well, hello, Don.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
We are waiting for Wynn and Terry, and I'm Prudence in Asheville, North Carolina, filling in for Highs tonight.
You always know as Eagle Ears.
Eagle Ears. I don't know about that, but this Wednesday, April 10th, another edition of You Have Questions, We Have Answers. An opportunity for you to submit your questions. Questions to the Sources, answered by Terry Brown as a channel for the Elohim and Ra'an. Wynn and Terry should be here momentarily. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Prudy. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Don.
Two callers joined us. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello. Hello, hi. Terry.
Hi.
Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine.
Hi,
everybody.
Hello. I am filling in for Highs tonight.
Great.
Yep. This is Prudy in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Prudy.
Anybody getting blizzarded on?
We had a good rainstorm this morning in Salt Lake City, but now it's just windy and cold.
Raiden's muted, but he said there was some snow in Sedona, Arizona today. Two callers joined us. Hello, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hello, it's Wanda up in Canada.
Hi, Wanda. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Purdy. It's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi,
Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, hello, hello. Is Blondie here?
Yep.
Yep.
He's here.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
And we welcome our VBS listeners to this Wednesday, April 10th, another edition of You Have Questions and We Have Answers. Answers provided to your questions by the sources, the Elohim and the Ra Group, through Terry Brown, an amazing channel. How's that, Terry? You're amazing tonight.
Don't say that. She'll have to live up to something.
Sure. She always does.
I don't know. I step aside.
God, everybody is so quiet. My God.
Meditate.
I think you know, our group has evolved. It's not the same as it was a year ago, and not the same as it was before that, and even in 6 months, it shifts. It shifts in a manner Anyone want to
Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Nick from Perth, Western Australia.
Welcome, Nick, in Australia. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, man. Thanks. Thank you. Hey, everyone. Hi. How are you all?
Good.
good.
I think it has evolved. Seems like it's more mature, or, you know, it's blooming in a way. I don't know how to describe it. It's maturing and blooming.
Not always night, though.
What's that,
John? Not always the same every night. Some nights are quieter than others.
I think
the energy's always there.
Sending.
Yeah. Hi, next caller. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to. Thanks for joining us.
Terry's last Sunday channeling, she mentioned something about things you could do to raise the consciousness of the people in the group. I was going to ask a question about it, but I didn't have enough time. Curious.
Did they answer you? Did they answer that question?
No, this is something that you just channeled on last Sunday. And do you remember that?
No.
Talking about the volcano, the Popo volcano. And
yeah.
They were talking about how the best way for people to send energy was to get in a peaceful, calm state yourself. And then you project that to the volcano.
Yeah.
That sounded familiar. And then they're saying that also there are things you could do to increase the frequency of the people in the group. But they didn't go into any detail. Now, I was going to ask what they had in mind, but I didn't have time. Ran out of time.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If they have some, they have some ideas, it'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've read some things that Yellowstone is also kind of bubbling up.
They had the largest earthquake in several years up there yesterday, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5.4, 5.5, and then you had downgraded it to 4.4 or something. But,
mm-hmm.
see, what happens is different locations report what they see the magnitude as. And the lowest anybody reported was about 4.4, but almost every other location reported it at 5 up to 5.5 or higher.
Mm-hmm. Did they evacuate, you know?
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in danger of eruption, but it's good to track it.
Mm-hmm. Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location? Okay, you don't have to, and thank you for joining us. There was also an earthquake off of New York City. That's pretty rare. I think that was a 4.98, which means it was probably a 5, and it was pretty shallow.
I was in New York City one time, and I was on the 5th floor of a hotel, and people in the street were fighting the night before, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a 5.5 earthquake.
Wow.
And I thought, when the people were fighting, I was thinking, geez, that's the earthquake energy.
Yeah, the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Is Richard in Los Angeles on the line by any chance?
He has not announced himself that he is.
And willing to say so. Okay. All right.
Okay, I'll mute the things.
We can start.
Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is April 10th. 2019, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Arizona, and this is, we call this call, you got questions, we got answers. You know, I never like names for things, because it makes it, even that name, it makes it sound like, okay, we know everything, we're omniscient, we're omnipotent, and it's not really true. And one of the things, the key things about the way that our sources answer questions is how masterful they are at not taking your power away, your decision-making power. And what people don't realize is that you really are a sovereign being. You really are creating yourself. You really are responsible for how your life is right now. That's a hard one, because when we're stuck and when we're going through stuff, it seems like it's happening, and it's hard to believe that you're responsible. It seems like you're stuck, and I've been there, I understand it. It's like you keep repeating these the same patterns. And you wonder, why do I keep repeating these patterns? And then it says, well, this is just how I am. I am this way. And it you are that way, then you are. And how do you stop repeating those patterns? How do you move into a shift in yourself where you stop repeating the patterns? And then you say, okay, Elohim, God, whoever, I don't want these patterns anymore. And do they go away? Maybe. And maybe not. Because, I mean, I remember something I read in a book a long time ago, and I can't remember the name of the book, and I can't even remember the author. But I remember what I read, and it was very insightful, and it seemed really accurate. And said, most people won't go through what they need to go through to get over their patterns until they're up against the wall, until they're totally stuck. And which point, of course, they can stay up against the wall and just say, I'm up against the wall. But when you're in that position, it can create the incentive to say, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to move through it. And sometimes it's the actual quality of anger that gives you the thrust to move through something which your intellect and your mind and your pondering and whatever doesn't do it, okay? And I can say that that is true for me. I have seen how that works. And I can even say with Terry, although I shouldn't speak for Terry. Terry, do you know what I'm talking about? Hello, Terry, are you? Can I what?
Can you say a little more about it?
Can you put your headset on?
You're talking about my pattern?
Well, can you put your headset on?
I got it on.
Okay, now I hear you better. Well, for example, I've known Terry for many years. And I know she is looking way more beautiful now than she did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And I know that... You want me to talk about you in front of people, Terry?
Sure, that's okay.
You can disagree. You can correct me. But
okay.
Terry, from my experience of knowing her, has one of the most receptive, beautiful flows into the world of accepting and being compassionate for people. But she... There's always a but, right? But she's had a lot of trouble with boundaries, and that people can get into her space when it may not be in her best interest for them to be there. And
yeah, I know.
It's like... Let me finish. And she doesn't know how to move them out of her space. And
well,
then she would think, wait a second, let me finish. And then she starts to think, well, if they're in my space, God must have sent them, and I'm supposed to fix them.
I think, I want to fix. If I can provide relief or some kind of help, that's what I want to do.
and I'll go way over the line.
Way overboard, right. But yeah. I mean, I've seen her do this for a long time, and she still does it, but she does it less now. She holds her own. I see her standing up to people. She, when somebody wants her to do something and she doesn't want to do it, she doesn't do it. Instead of just, what's the word?
Doing it.
Well, there's a word, supplicating yourself, or that's not the right word, but you know what I mean. She's too nice. But, you know, I couldn't say she was too nice because I'm not smart enough to figure it out. And I said, maybe she's supposed to be this way. But what happens is, like, she'd get different ambient influences in her auric field, and she didn't look, she looked fuzzy, so to speak, right? And one of the interesting things is that because she is so multidimensional and like so, such a big part of her is on the other side as well as this side, she even gets ambient influences from the other side that she thinks she's helping. And, you know, maybe she is. But from my experience, and I pay very close attention to everything, and I learn from the way I pay attention to things. From my experience, being nice and being totally accommodating to people is not always in their best interest, because
I agree.
They can take advantage of you. They can relax using your resources, either your physical resources or your energy resources. And when they separate from you, they just go to someone else and use their resources. And they haven't really grown. So I like to see where you can contribute to Kasana. Like, if I really think I can do something that's going to actually help a person change their patterns, I will do it. But otherwise, I will do my best not to do it, because they just get dependent on your energy. And after a while, if I finally shake them off, they will get mad at me because I let them feel I was going to give them something, and then when I took it away, they feel denied. You know, that's an indication that whatever I was doing was not really in their best interests, right? And now you can talk, Terry.
Yeah, well, that's one of my biggest lessons in this life, you know, because, like, if they've got some kind of a pattern that's messing them up, and I just let it go on and on and on and take advantage of me or something, I don't do them any service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't teach them any lesson, they don't grow, they don't learn, and then they just go on to the next person and become dependent on them for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things hang on a second, I'm typing something. One of the things is that, you know, it came up in one of the sessions that, well, we've talked about what happens when you die many times.
Right.
And one of the things that happens when you die, according to our sources, and I think it's true, is keep in mind, the other side is a huge, expansive area. Huge. When you think of Earth, Earth is just, Earth is huge. You know, we have everything, all these different cultures, races, consciousnesses, intelligences, whatever here. And, you know, no one person represents this planet. It's a expanse. Well, on the other side, however Earth is, it's probably 1,000 or 1,000,000 times more expansive. I'm just picking those numbers, but I just get the idea. And so there's all kinds of sections of the other side. There's higher levels of the other side and lower levels of the other side. And if we have it right, our group souls are at the highest level. At least the Elohim is. And then at a lower level is the Ra group. But they all have things in common, like honoring free will for the highest good of all concerned, and desiring to make a difference, and being available to Earth, the Earth realm. But on one part of the other side, there is this area where when people die, and they have to qualify to some extent to get into this area. Like, I don't believe people who are service to self get into this area. People have to have their hearts open to the best of their ability. And maybe 51% of the time, maybe that's the number that qualifies you. A little bit more than 50%. And it's where, when you die, you get a life review. And various beings on the other side, and you could call them angels, but I think there's too much idea of what the word angel means. But we'll use the word angel for this moment. An angel will process you, will do what's called a life review, and they will help get you in shape for your next bout with lower level existence, or higher level, or higher level existence, or even, you know, maybe you want to come back on another planet. You know, there's a lot of free will choices. Nothing is supposed to happen. But you get a life review, and then there's also, they refer to it as the heaven realm. But it's not heaven in Christian terminology, although somebody that wants to stay there can stay there and say, well, maybe I want to do life reviews. And maybe if they're qualified, they can get that position to do life reviews. And then you can meet your people you've known in other lifetimes or the lifetime you just graduated from, and they get together and commiserate, and you get to experience them again. And then you can go on from there, depending on variables which I don't understand, to come back to another lifetime on Earth to finish lessons that you didn't learn, or come back to a lifetime on Earth to be of service. Or sometimes people come back to a life on Earth because, for example, they have someone they love very much that's still on Earth and still going through garbage on Earth. And they come back to be with that person. They could be their child, or their parent, or something, or their neighbor, or their brother. But they want to contribute to that person's life, and they care so much that they're willing to come back to this planet, even when karmically they didn't have to. Or some people come back to be teachers, whatever. You know, in the Dalai Lama tradition, supposedly the Dalai Lamas keep reincarnating back into the, I forget what the Dalai Lama sect is called. What are they called, Terry? You know, whatever they're called. The Buddhists are the Buddhists, right? It's a certain Buddhist tradition, and they keep reincarnating to be teachers within that tradition, or Dalai Lamas, right? So whatever you can think of probably happens, because if someone can think of it and say, that's what I'd like to do, then if the universe can accommodate and they can karmically fit into the energy of it, then they might just be able to do that, okay? And that's for people with hearts open. And for people that are service to self, on the other side of it, some of them have gotten their karma so screwed up that their evolutionary path is no longer there. Now, it could be, perhaps, if they made some kind of drastic change, but it's so far removed that they don't worry anymore about what they do, because it couldn't get any worse based on what they've done. And they say, let's just have a party. Let's have sex with children. Who cares? Either they know it consciously or unconsciously, but they just want whatever they can attract to themselves to give them energy to relieve them of their pain. So it's all kinds of things. So you want me to ask a question about this?
What kind of question would you ask?
What kind of question would you ask? Okay. Can you comment on Terry's lack of boundaries? Lack of boundaries and the negative and or positive benefits of this being so.
Okay, well, you know, I think we need to explain why we're doing this, because there's no questions today.
No, actually, we got a bunch of questions, and so we're okay.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get started then, and I guess you could ask that.
Okay, all right. Now, we start out, now remember, we're talking to a combination of two group souls, so they say. They say they're part of the Elohim group and partially the Ra group. The Elohim group has different access to information than the Ra group does. The Ra group has been in this realm, has gotten stuck in it, and gone through many lifetimes, and graduated. The Elohim group, I won't say they've never been there, you know, but most of the time when the Elohim group come in, if they end up here, and they oftentimes become negative, not always, but oftentimes, because they have a lot of power over other people, and they keep staying here, implementing their power, and trying to be and they don't know they're Elohim. Remember, once anyone, whichever group, comes in here, they have to rediscover their true mission in this realm, which when you're on the other side, it usually was to be of service and to help this realm, which has gotten very dark. And then you have to rediscover when you're here. And sometimes it takes a number of lifetimes to rediscover it. And sometimes you get caught up in a lot of negative stuff. And with the negative, while you're rediscovering it. But the original, I don't believe the original mission gets lost, usually. Usually somebody will come back to it. And many of the people that are attracted to our work are of that dispensation. And whether they're from the Ra group or the Elohim group or some other subsidiary, they came into this realm to be of service, to help. And then that I remember the Elohim saying one time, when you're on the other side and you're thinking of coming here, you think, I want to be the one that's going to bring the realm out of the dark and help everybody. And then it's hard to imagine from the other side how hard and how difficult this realm can be, and how dangerous it can be to even try to do that, because there's so many dark forces that even when you somewhat succeed, they try to ride on your coattails and then own you and use you, say for example, Jesus, for nefarious purposes, to control you, to create fear, whatever. Okay, so let's get into this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. You're making a lot of noise, Terry. To join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we move into the density of planet Earth. We say often we leave, but we did not leave. We keep a finger into the dimensions and keep an attention from the distance in with the different people who are connected. If we ever say anything that does not fully resonate with you, disregard it, as it is not meant for you at that time. We have joy in bringing information or assistance wherever we can. We have a toolbox we can use in helping. It is an analysis tool to analyze all of the factors that are going in to the final result, which the people may not like or may like, and we have an ability to use our toolbox to, much like an x-ray, only it is like an x-ray, it gives a measurement of all of the factors that go together to create a result. And we do have an ability to look at that. Comes up automatically as everything is made of the frequencies and the way the frequencies interact, not only in the third dimension, but in the fourth dimension, in considering all dimensions that go together to make up the final result. Do you have questions?
Well, you know what? I put a question down, and it's almost like you read my mind. And my question was, what are the Elohim's tools in their toolbox? Now, we have semi-answered this in so many of our other calls where you talked about like blending your frequencies with frequencies in the realm, and the new frequencies create new potentials. But just how would you answer that right now? What are the Elohim's toolbox? What are the tools?
Well, one of the tools is not the blending of our energies, because we stand aside from energies. We observe energies, and we are able to create energies, but they not us. We are able to take a look and see which frequencies may be missing from an equation where a person wants a certain result, but it has certain missing frequencies so that they could never get the result that they wanted, because the frequencies needed for the final result are some of them missing or incomplete or intermittent. And we have the ability to determine what are the missing frequencies, and then, much like a frequency generator, to generate the frequencies that would be needed to complete the equation to the satisfaction of the people who were experiencing the result.
When Kimberly does healings, and the Elohim is only part of the group that's working through Kimberly, are these frequencies critical for making something shift in someone's body in the manner that happens with Kimberly?
Well, sometimes the frequencies, it's like when one, like Kimberly, would scan the person's body, she would be able to see the deficiencies, the areas of aberration, and then be able to go to the 12th dimension and be able to withdraw the frequencies that were inopportune or inappropriate for the result they wanted, to withdraw those frequencies. And so then there would be an automatic healing when the frequencies that were messing up the health of the body were withdrawn, then there would be a clearing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question. Could you tell us what is the black hole and why it pulls gravitationally everything in, and where does it go once it's pulled in?
Those are several questions. Black hole, there's a black hole at the beginning of, the center of every galaxy. It is where the gravity becomes very, very powerful and very, very dense, which the gravity is a result of the spinning energies that are pulling the aspects of the galaxy together, and it will go, the light will become very, very dense, or so dense that the light goes out. And it is a change in the matter. It no longer means like it is in we are looking for words. There are words, but not in your languages. It puts out the vibrations of the light and the blackness is what is left. It cannot vibrate. It cannot move. It's under extreme change, much like the pressures are such that the light cannot vibrate, and it goes. You might say goes out. It no longer vibrates. It is like frozen.
Is the existence of a black hole required as part of the existence of a galaxy?
When we look to galaxies, we see that any spinning energy will begin to form intense pressure at the center. We get into reversal here to some degree of flipping as the spinning gets so thick or dense that it is a beginning to the words are a different vocabulary, but char is not the right word. To char or to turn the frequencies in the middle to a different form. And on the other side, you can have light on the flip side. We will review this in more detail at some other time.
I think it's too complicated a topic to try to answer. It would take a lot of questions to try to get the feel of what a black hole is, I think.
If one pictures a spinning and the getting caught in the rapids of not a whirlwind, but a water spout is, or a tornado once one item of matter is caught in it, it is impelled against its will. It becomes a part of the spinning. So it's the same in a black hole. It is caught in a whirlpool of energy, and it has lost any other ability or expression except to become a part of the whirlpool and the whirling energy. This is what happens in a black hole so much that the light, which is an emission of energy out, cannot take place. it is what in the spinning of the energies at the center of a spinning energy like a galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll ask more questions about it some other time, because it brings up a lot of questions that would take too long for this call. So thank
it's
you.
It's interesting because in your third density life, you have language, you have patterns of living, of channeling the energy of the surrounding, and you speak in terms of those energies. We are looking at a whole nother language of how to describe the makeup of your universe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for trying. We have to work at getting it, okay? I have a friend that submitted a question tonight, and I think it's a rather difficult question to answer for a number of reasons, but I'll ask it, and I'll just do a preamble. Number one, the question within he is curious about, is he real? And he wants to ask us.
We are laughing. We ask if you are real, if your body is real.
Yeah. But he wanted to ask a question to see if you could be omniscient. And the nature of the question, actually, from all my experience of having conversations with you, would be a exercise in him having to give up his power of discernment and his own free will choice, because he wants you to tell him what to do. So now I'm going to ask his question and let you handle it however you see fit, okay? And his name is Richard, and he lives in Los Angeles area, and he's a talented creator in his own right, and he's very metaphysically savvy, and, you know, I think he studied many spiritual things. So his question goes like this: how should I give my talk next month?
Well, we would say, first of all, think of what it is that your talk concerns, the core of it, the data, not external data, but the main core of what you want to get across. Do you want to get it across something to an audience? Is there some message that you wish to convey? And stripping aside all of the extraneous things, like for the time being, stripping aside the examples, the stories that tell about it, the things that you could say that would convey what it is that are examples or aren't simply straight away saying it, but setting up something that they could use to make it real to them, what it is you want to convey to them. And then, just as an aside, why do you want to convey it to them? And are they likely, the audience that's coming, likely to be interested? Are they likely to get that? Are they intelligent enough to be able to get your innuendos? in general, to simply look at what it is that, what is your message that you would like to convey, that you would like to get across, that you would like them to take away from your talk that they would think, oh yeah. They would go away thinking that they never thought of that maybe. And after you get to the core of it, then begin to think of examples, life situations that you could exemplify what it is that you wanted to say, that would then, like a parable, something that would be memorable, that they would say, oh yeah, that makes it more real to me. So we do not say what it is that you would want to say. It is for your creative mind, and have some fun with it. And then once you have fun with it, then they can have fun with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's 6:56, and we have to move on to Whole Planet Healing. And so, Valerie and Don, I didn't get to your questions. Anyone else's? No. I didn't even ask about Terry's lack of boundaries. So, ask your questions next week, and we'll give them. And I thank everyone who's here and listening and supporting the energy of the call. And, you know, one of the things is that life is, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you can uncover everything, at the basis of it all, there is a mystery. And you can't solve the mystery, because it takes away. But the mystery is something you can grasp and know and feel, but you can't put it in words. No matter how many times you attempt it, it's not something your mind can grasp. It's like the Zen people knew that when they would ask what's called Zen koans and try to tap people into the mystery, like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Of course, you can't answer that. In any case, we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing. If you want to come along with us, the phone number is 712-770-4340. 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513. And pound, 250-513-pound. And we'll see some of you there. Thank you for being here tonight. And thank you to all of you that asked questions. And here we go, unmuting.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
Thank you from Perth, Western Australia. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn, Elohim.
Thank you from
Long
Valley.
Thank you,
Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Brenda from New York. I'll see you at Whole Planet in a little bit. Okay.